What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, so that we do not curse, swear, use things in our hearts, lie, or deceive behind his name, but call upon him in every trouble, pray and praise and give thanks.
The Reform book, my title of the sermon series comes from How Shall We Then Live? Should, of course, is a law word. If you go to 2 Peter 3:11, you'll find about 90% of the English translations agree. They have, since everything will be destroyed, what kind of people ought or should you be? The Greek doesn't have the law word in it. It says, since everything will be destroyed, how necessary to be. The Ten Commandments themselves can be understood that same way. Rather than giving an order, they can be descriptive of God's people. Someone accuses your child of stealing, and you say, my child does not steal. Grammatically, that's the same as you will not steal. God's people don't misuse his name, not by turning to satanic arts and even worse things. Sins against the name of God, said Luther, are more serious before God than murder and adultery. But its evil nature is not easily perceived as that of murder because of its subtlety, because it is committed not in gross flesh, but in the spirit. Now, we think we get what he means, but because of the mention of satanic arts. But like Ezekiel's vision of the sin of the Old Testament church fathers, the further into the explanation you go, the worse it gets. There are two more sins after satanic arts. But what's before satanic arts is worse too, because it doesn't look that bad. Without fail, when teaching the second commandment, it's always in the second half of a 90-minute class, kids who've been all day in school have mush-brained and are adrift. As soon as I mention satanic arts, these kids wake up, attentive. Something tells them they're into something bad, forbidden. They're right. The name of God stakes out all that belongs to God, his church, his people, his word, his sacraments, but also the past that haunts people to the point they want to go back there and set things right, and the future that is unknown except to the hidden will of God. Satanic arts trespass on the property that's marked out by God's name, the past and the future. Satan and his arts are alluring to fallen people. Remember, Eve correctly stated what God's word had said about that forbidden fruit and the consequence of eating it. But, quote, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Now that isn't how it is with danger signs at electrical stations. I don't see those signs that say, keep out, don't trespass, and seek to touch them. In funeral homes, I don't open doors marked private. But satanic arts are like the siren song. They aren't ugly. They're beautiful. And that's what the Nazi said when he saw the angel of death coming out of the Ark of the Covenant. We are no match for Satan and his arts. How quickly Eve fell and Adam followed. How quickly Job's wife, and then eventually Job, denied the grace of God when Satan tempted them to peer into the hidden will of God. Then, of course, there's the glistening gold of Jericho, the shimmering flesh of Bathsheba, and the glimmering silver Satan offers Judas. We sing of Satan that on earth is not his equal, certainly not in raw power, but even more so not in craftiness, subtlety, or artifice. He seldom tempts with obvious evil, but with apparent good, otherworldly beauty. Faust doesn't just sell his soul for Gretchen's beauty, but for the more even alluring, limitless knowledge Satan offers. Satanic arts look good, but are very bad. The horoscope you consult, the Ouija board you play with, that magic eight ball you ask questions of, they're not just for fun. They are satanic, and they are leading you away from the name and intruding on the things that have God's name on them, his hidden will, the past, and the future. But there are worse uses of God's name than that. Profaning God's name is one of them. I'm trying to make a distinction here. Profanity is not the same as vulgarity. Profanity is not the vulgar words for body parts or sexuality. Now, this view is contrary to what Catcher in the Rye and the movie industry has taught us. PG movies cannot drop F-bombs. PG-13 movies can. But PG movies, well, they can use God's name as an exclamation, a punctuation mark, or as a way to damn anything or anyone. No biggie, just the name of God. This is 18-year-old Holden Caulfield's view in Catcher of the Rye. He cannot speak a sentence without misusing the name. But when he picks up his little sister from a public school, he sees the word beginning with F scrawled on the wall, and he goes ballistic. He can insult God all he wants by misusing his name, but how dare his sweet little sister's eyes or ears be assaulted with a vulgarity? Profanity is worse than satanic arts. Calling on God to damn something is silly if it's an inanimate object you want damned, and downright satanic if it's a person you love. And OMG is not merely texting shorthand, it's sinning. You think that acronym is modern? It's not. Its first use is recorded in a 1917 letter to Churchill. Profanity is treating the sacred, not obviously sacrilegiously, but as ordinary. Go read why Esau selling his birthright, why that was profane. Go review why treating the body and blood of Jesus in communion as ordinary food brings judgment. We've lost the concept of sacred spaces that are able to be profaned. The Vietnam Wall is probably a sacred space, and the A&M monument to the 12 who died in the 1999 bonfire collapse, well, that certainly is a sacred space. You go to those places laughing, talking loudly, or making jokes, and you'll know you've profaned that space. The ire of people is nothing compared to the wrath of God. People who know the name of Jesus, who know the name of Jesus has been exalted by God for redeeming sinners. People who know God so exalted it that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and in hell itself. People who know that every tongue in all three places will confess Jesus is Lord. Those sort of people know why kneelers are in churches. They know why heads are bowed in the creed and at that doxologies. What those at Judgment Day and in hell will forcibly do, we do willingly because we've been given the only name under heaven by which men must be saved. We've been given the name to call upon in every trouble. We've been given the name to be forgiven of all our sins by. We have put on that name as a wetsuit in baptism. We not only eat and drink in Jesus' name, but we eat and drink him in communion for the salvation of our bodies and souls. Profanity on the lips, in the heart, on the mind, humiliates the name of the one who humbled himself by taking on your flesh and blood by means of a human womb, and went to the cross burdened by the sins of all men. Profanity, whether written, spoken, or thought, does not only reject the saving name as those builders did in that reading, but it drags it through the mud. You do that now, and you really think you're going to call upon that name on your deathbed? Think again. But like Ezekiel, I bid you go further still. I will show you what is even worse than profaning the name. We confess in the Large Catechism, quote, that the greatest abuse of the name occurs in spiritual matters, which pertain to the conscience, when false preachers rise up and offer their lying vanities as God's word. putting God's name on what God has not said doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Till you think about someone putting your name on a loan application or on an email or a text. You didn't say that about this person. You didn't agree to pay this or do that. God never said, pray to my mother. God never said, don't baptize your babies. God never said, redemption in my son is only for some people. God never said, anyone who wants to commune, well, they should be allowed. God never said, you can join your prayers to pagans, and I'll still hear them. God never said, all dogs go to heaven. God never said, go ahead, choose your own works. I'll be pleased, whatever. God never said these things. It is blasphemous to attribute them to him. False teaching is a worse misuse of his holy name than Satan's arts. But so is false living, being a hypocrite. That is covering a sinful life with a Christian name. Confirmation kids almost always miss this question. True or false, it is obvious who is a hypocrite and who is not. It's not obvious. Judas could hide from the 11 even though Jesus said there was a devil in their midst a full year earlier. No one knew what that Achan stole. No one knew David fornicated and murdered or Absalom planned rebellion. I can't tell when the person who has absented himself for months and returns is really repentant or just going through the motions. I can't tell you among you are confessional Lutherans and who are really cafeteria Lutherans, picking and choosing which Lutheran doctrines you believe. I can't tell. God can. The truth will out on the last day. Hypocrites receive some of the sharpest judgments in Scripture. Psalm 29:2 says, give unto the Lord the glory, do his name. Lord, there is Yahweh. The glory of God in Christ is to save the unsavable, to forgive the unforgivable, to give life to the dead. The improper use of God's name muddies this. You're not going to call upon his name in every trouble if you think he's still mad at you. If you think all of his wrath hasn't been satisfied, finished by Jesus' suffering and death, you won't pray, praise, or give thanks to his name. If his name is regarded as an exclamation point, not sacred, not powerful, not saving, why would anyone call upon it? Our large catechism confessed the true honor of God's name is to look to it for all consolation. Do a simple concordance search for name. Limit it to the Psalms. It's there 96 times. See how the Old Testament church basks in the name of God that can be in your ears, heart, and on your lips. Psalm 20 says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now how could we forget it? We've been baptized into that name. How could we forget the name? We've been absolved by that name. How could we forget that name? We've been bodied and blooded to that name. Some 3,500 years ago, the Lord commanded that his name be put upon his people. We still do that in the benediction using the very same words Aaron was commanded to use. Now, Harry Potter books have that name that shall not be mentioned. Aladdin has the name that opens doors. We have the only name before which all creation bows and by which we must be saved. Therefore, unlike Harry Potter, we do mention it often and boldly. And like Aladdin, we too open doors with it, those of heaven and of all good things. Amen.